Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm rolling. Let's do this. There we go. I got it.
Pat asked me if I knew anybody who went to the Stones concert last night, and I said my brother, and he said there were a lot of canes and people limping.
Yep. Accurate. And you were there, Reavers.
Yes, I bought a last-minute ticket, as I told on GL.
Did you get it cheap? What'd it cost?
$70, and I sat in the club level, but I went by myself, so I only needed one. But that's the way to do it for those big shows, man. Wait till the last minute.
Well, I missed them again. The only time I have ever seen them was for their three tunes at a Super Bowl. That was basically it.
Which one was that?
I can't remember.
It's in Detroit.
Yes, Detroit.
That must have been 82.
That would have been Pittsburgh and Seattle.
The second time, Detroit.
I saw every Twin Cities performance with the exception of last night and the 1964 one out at Reggie's Danceland in Excelsior.
I would have liked to have seen Reggie's Danceland.
2006.
Now, was Reggie's Danceland different than the roller rink?
That I don't know.
Because the roller rink is where I saw Roy Orbison and the Beach Boys and a bunch of people.
That's probably the same
thing. Yeah. Because it was just, it was up, it was a second floor. Yeah.
Were the Beach Boys wearing their Beach Boys shirts? You know, the same shirt?
I can't remember. But Roy was, I remember Roy, I think I saw Roy twice. Oh.
And that's where you can't always get what you want, right? Isn't that legend?
Well, he ran into, who was the guy in Excelsior?
That guy is so full of crap.
Well, he's no longer with us.
And he broke that story out every time they came to town. Right. And some sucker on some TV station went for it.
Joe, did you see what I did there? That was a great Kenny Olsen cast. I knew that I was going to catch that big fish.
The Stones were there.
Jimmy Hutmaker.
He broke that out. And
the town celebrity of Excelsior, and he said he was standing the next day at the drugstore. And Mick Jagger was there, and Jimmy was disappointed because he ordered a strawberry fizz or something and didn't get the strawberry.
Coca-Cola cherry red.
Yeah, Coca-Cola cherry red, and Mick said, well, you can't always get what you want.
I thought it was the other way around.
Maybe the other way around.
Mick ordered something, he couldn't get it, and Jimmy.
The story changed every time Jimmy told.
Jimmy was the hero who said, you can't always get what you want.
Yeah. And he just stopped and
imagine his surprise 6 months later when it was number one single.
You know, Jagger has to know that story.
Yes.
And you would think of all these appearances in the Twin Cities, he would have clarified.
Right. Yes, I don't.
Just set the record straight.
I think he felt poor old Jimmy if he wanted to tell that story. Yeah. But here's the deal.
Let it ride.
Channel 4 would do it, and then the next time 5 would do it, and the next time 9 would do it.
Who's doing the Jimmy story?
They did it.
11
Who's doing the Jimmy story? Yeah, we got it.
They did it again, even though Jimmy's dead. We break it out again, huh?
Yep. Maybe one of Jimmy's kids has carried on the tradition.
They probably had old video that they did from back in the old days.
Pat, how would you describe to listeners who maybe have joined us only in recent years, who was Louis Cardinal? How would you wrap that up?
Before you answer, the Stones on February 5th, 2019, played at Ford Field in Detroit.
That was 2019?
No, that was an appearance. That's not the Super Bowl. Super Bowl, they did the halftime show.
You were right the first time, 06.
Yeah. Damn it. Why do I second guess myself?
And I had stopped covering Super Bowls, but the crew all got their heads together, saw that the Super Bowl was in Detroit, and said, do you want to go to the Super Bowl? So,
Why not?
It was in Detroit, I went to the Super Bowl.
Who was Louis Cardinal?
Louis was our Catholic conscience.
Yes, he was.
Because yes, unlike your mother, Mary Helen, that was off the air, Catholic conscious. Louis was on the air. He was our Catholic conscience.
Yep.
And I would say that. And there's something else he brought to the table. I'm just trying to remember. He never really called in with many opinions on actual sporting events or anything, did he?
Oh, yeah. Sure. He was.
I told the Pollock back there that the potatoes got to get ready and we're getting up.
He referred to her as the Pollock.
A long-time noted town ball player.
Yes, he was a very good character.
Very good baseball player.
Yes, yes, he was.
Remind me, which team did he play for? I know you've told me before.
Well, I'm going to tell you a story.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Was it Gaylord? No, I'm not sure.
This is from Rebecca, who might very well be a Cardinal. Mm-hmm. Because there were 12 of them.
Three pages you gave you there?
This is a good one.
Okay.
A couple of weeks ago, Rookie offhandedly remarked that there are no good town ball stories. Did you do that?
Yes.
Did you say that?
From Reavers.
Yeah.
She didn't listen to the whole sentence. From Reavers.
That's why he's been banned from talking town ball. Yes.
Well, yes. I'm here to prove him wrong with another Louis Cardinal town ball story.
Okay.
Here goes. One summer back in the early 1950s, Louis was offered a job as a player, manager, groundskeeper for Sleepy Eye.
Ooh,
included in the deal
town.
Was the use of a lake home near the field. Since the family was still fairly mobile, having only 5 of the eventual 12 kids, he decided to pack them up and move to Sleepy Eye for the summer. I'm sure it will come as no surprise that after home games, it was common for the team to retreat to a nearby bar. Their favorite was a dark and dusty, no-frills watering hole where the local farmers would gather most afternoons for a couple of canoopers before heading home for their evening chores.
I love canoopers.
It was an era when a man could bring a kid or two with him to the bar. I remember that era. My dad used to bring me a Vince Guinier's.
Oh, yeah.
I'd stare at that Ham's beer sign with the water. Ooh, that was neat. Yeah. It was an era when a man could bring a kid or two with him to the bar to sit and watch the old man drink for a couple of hours after a game. Therefore, no eyebrows were raised, nor were any heads turned when Louis entered the bar with a 9-year-old Spike in tow.
As long as they had a Nesbitt orange pop to put a straw in, you were good. Right.
They hadn't been there that long when one of the farmers began loudly complaining about one of his sows. She had recently furrowed a litter of piglets and refused to let anyone near them for inspection. He went on and on about how no one had ever encountered a beast like her and how she must have been a demon born straight out of hell. I don't know why Louis was irritable that day. Perhaps they'd lost the game, but for some reason and the farmer's incessant whining really began to get on his nerves. So with a wave of dismissal and a nod towards Spike, he announced to the bar, my kid could catch one of them piglets. Before anyone knew what was happening, Louie and Spike found themselves in the car following the farmer out to his property. Alongside the pigeon, the bet was negotiated. The farmer suggested $5. Louis agreed, saying, okay, but let's see your kid go first. The farmer had a 14-year-old son who'd been milling about, tending to the animals. He turned to his son and barked at him to get in the pig pen and fetch a piglet. Dutifully, his son climbed over the fence and made it 3 steps before being charged by the sow. He leaped back over the fence, saying, nope, I can't do it. Now it was Spike's turn. Now, I don't mean to be uncharitable here, but there really is no other way to put it. Spike was the runt of the Cardinal litter. Skinny and short, he always appeared to be about 2 years younger than his actual age, and at first glance, his Coke bottle-thick glasses did nothing to elevate him in anyone's estimation. However, what he lacked in stature, he made up for in speed and toughness. As Louis lifted Spike over the fence rail, some of his advice was, hey, Spikey, run over there and grab us one of them piglets. We'll have it for our supper. And don't let that sow catch you. She's pretty grumpy. Spike took off running in the direction of the piglets as fast as his little legs would carry him. He scooped one up and ran back, all the while with the sow hard on his heels and grunting. Louis lifted them back over the fence and handed the piglet to the farmer, saying, there you go. Angrily, the farmer handed off the piglet to his own son. Reluctantly, he took out his wallet, peeled out a $5 bill, and handed it to Louis. Then, my favorite part of the story, Louis and Spike returned to the bar.
With $5 in hand.
Once inside, Louis hoisted Spike onto a stool at the end of the bar, placed the $5 bill on the counter, and instructed the bartender, give the kid whatever he wants until it's gone. Now I await Rookie's apology.
That is
good luck, Rebecca.
I would.
She sounds like a family member.
P.S. Years later, my dad ran into Leo Wells at one of those Mancini Sports Hall of Fame dinners. Leo told him, you know, I think Louie got it right. Sleepy Eye paid him $3,000 for that summer. A few years earlier, when I was shortstop for the White Sox, I was paid $600 for the whole season.
Wow. Leo's no longer with us.
No, I knew
guess.
Leo Wells.
Oh, Leo would get up and go to, after his wife
Town
died,
and Country Club.
At Town and Country.
Sit at a table by himself with a full suit on.
Really?
And people would come over and talk to Leo.
Yep.
And he'd
I did
say
many
hello.
Times. I
and
saw.
People would come over and he'd have a fine Friday night or Saturday night dinner and be dressed to the nines, man. What did he do for a living? You know?
I think he was a salesman of clothing, I think.
Was he really? Well, he looks like a guy who would sell a Hart, Schaffner, and Mark suit.
Yeah, Leo Wells.
Does Sleepy Eye still have a town ball team, Pat?
Yes.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Yes. Sleepy Eye by St. Cloud?
No,
it's down by
New Al-Um.
Yes.
Down by
didn't you ever watch Little House on the Prairie, you moron?
Yeah, I did.
They go to Sleepy Eye all the time. It's down by Walnut Grove.
Dana Kicker, the pitcher, Fairfax, Minnesota, his whole life. But he was born in the Sleepy Eye Hospital.
Mm.
So the place of birth.
They
Sleepy
can claim
Eye.
Him.
So all his time with the Red Sox, the announcers had great fun with the idea that this kid from Sleepy Eye, Minnesota, because they love the name Sleepy Eye, and Dana beyond playing some games there, he spent two days.
Sleepy Eye is either really a great name for a town or a really bad name
for a town.
Name.
Like
I think it's kind
of
cool.
Home of the great R.J. Fritz.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, R.J.'s from there.
I have a
very nice town, nice, clean, pristine town, little lake right in town. It's a gorgeous town right on the river.
I have a memory from the 50s.
They used to be in the same conference as the Folder Red Raiders.
When the parents on our block were warning the kids about a car that went by, and they said, that car's from Sleepy Eye. I still remember that. I don't know
as if they're trying to give you
supposed to do.
Strangers have the best candy.
Look out.
Yeah.
Well,
stranger alert.
I was just going to say, not only do they have a town ball team still, Pat, the Sleepy Eye Indians, they follow me on Twitter.
So really?
I should have known better than that.
So I was down in Worthington the other day. I came and went, but it got me thinking once again how those towns down there, Worthington in the 50s, late 50s, if you drove, they had hoods.
Yeah.
They had the hoods, the leather jackets
and
the cars, some of them on motorcycles.
Oh, yeah.
You could be driving down Main Street, and if there was a good-looking group of young ladies there, you had to keep right on going because
if the hood
saw you messing or talking
trouble.
To the
that was slate, their
tossing to Pinky,
yeah.
you know, talking to Pinky. And, what was the name of Pinky in the Travolta movie? Wasn't
Pinky
it?
Tuscadero.
Pinky Tuscadero
was Happy Days.
If she was, she was on the corner. Those hoods.
I always
would just say, keep moving there, stranger.
I think they just stare at you. Yeah. Ooh, man.
Yeah. Sandra Dee.
You always thought Marlon Brando's gang was going to come rumbling down the street there from Wild Things in 1954.
Looking up Sleepy Eye population, 3401, 2019.
Is it that high? Is it really?
Yeah, and the elevation is 1,000 feet.
Okay.
Well, there's a lake there, huh?
Yeah. Sleepy Eye Lake, yes.
That's must have been where Louie had his place.
But they have... of course, on the tracks, they have the station, you know, the train station that is now turned into the Sleepy Eye Museum.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yes,
you got some, you know, big history, but I did
might
see
be a picture in there of Louie getting a base hit.
Probably.
For
but it was funny on Twitter or Instagram the other day. One of these smartasses put a thing out. It said, visit our historic downtown. And then it showed a picture of... like every downtown that's ever been.
Yeah.
When there's nothing historic about it.
Historic downtown.
And visit our museum.
Historic downtown.
Sleepy Eyes know they're
I've
the
never
same
been
thing.
To Sleepy Eyes.
So,
oh, yeah, I've been there many times.
Here's a little town ball lesson. After the war in the late 40s, early 50s, when they were paying town team players, they paying guys to come in. And the two big leagues were the Southern Mini. Which had Austin, Rochester, Albert Lea, Faribault, Owatonna, basically the Big Nine conference. But these towns, I mean, they had Sam Jones and, you know, Austin, and they paid big. But its equivalent in the West was the Western Mini, and Sleepy Eye, Springfield, New Harlem, Marshall. I don't know what the other, but there were six. Fairfax was in it for a while. There was seven or eight of there. Then these were the best leagues in the state that paid the most money. And Sleepy Eye was always in that league. That was a good baseball town.
Who did your dad bring in?
He brought in 1949. He brought in Hilton Smith and Earl Ashby, mm-hmm. being the liberal thinker that he was. Right, he wanted to integrate Murray County, so he brought in two. I'm sure he referred to them as African Americans. He brought in 1949. Probably, yes.
How did they fare?
They were very good.
No. How did the community react?
Did they live at your house? They lived, well, I don't know where Earl lived downtown.
According to the state board, yes, they lived in Severance's house.
My dad had an apartment building, and the Smiths, Hilton Smith and his family, lived in one of the four apartments, they were pretty good size. And he ended up in the Hall of Fame, you know. He was a Kansas City Monarch.
Right.
He was Satchel's pitching buddy, and then his arm went dead, and my dad got him to come to Fulda in 1949, but the other guy, Earl Ashby, was single in the fullest sense of the word,
right.
I guess.
Got it.
And that caused a little more civic unrest, I think.
Civic unrest.
Because he lived downtown.
God, here he comes again.
He lived downtown.
Morning,
in,
ma'am.
In an apartment above one of the stores downtown. But they said he used to get all dolled up.
Yep,
and ride the train out to the Kimbri Bar,
and once in a
while there would be a couple of farm ladies who'd meet him there and stuff. So I don't know. So Earl,
darn his uniform, darn his socks.
He ended up getting murdered later in I think Rochester, New York, somewhere in that. He was playing in that league, and I think this wasn't
a result of messing with Pinky, was it?
And it was messing with the rumor was it was. It was
undefeated related.
Yes,
undefeated related.
Yes, Noomer was, but he got shot. I don't know what he got.
Shades of Lyman Bostock.
Yeah, although this was
right.
This was actual in the act, apparently. Unlike
Lyman,
who was just an innocent bystander riding
in a car.
Earl, but my brother was the bat boy for that team, so he was he got to know. Or that's the famous story. I wrote this story that Earl's shin guard broke. He was a catcher, you know. Earl's shin guard broke, and you don't have extra shin guards. And the Iona team wouldn't let him use a shin guard, man.
You get back there and suffer.
Can't be letting a black guy use one of your shin guards. You never know what might happen.
That would be tough, catching without a shin guard. Yeah. I don't think I'd sign up for that.
Went back, squatted down behind the plate, and said, throw the bleeping ball.
And let's go.
Yeah, so anyway.
Well,
that's the story of Sleepy Eye Baseball.
Nice. All right.
So the Stones.
Yes, sir.
Was it sad?
No, actually, the worst part about the show was just the acoustics inside U.S.
It's bad
Stadium.
In there, huh?
They tried to improve it because it was really bad at the beginning, and I've attended a couple of shows, and I told Joe and Rook earlier, but if you are close to the stage, it's great. Mm-hmm. But if you're further away from the stage, it's the acoustics are not good at all.
You think glass might not help? I don't know.
It's a shame. I was telling these boys earlier. You would think in the creation of a building that expensive, you would take acoustics into consideration.
Yes, yes. And, you know, the Metrodome was notoriously horrible, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what's the best in town?
Well, I was just telling Pat before we started recording, TCL or Huntington Bank Stadium. That's a great spot.
Just play outside.
Yeah. Right? I mean, because Joe and I were at the U2 show there. It was fantastic. Yeah. That was one of the best live.
Remember that?
I do. Even Target Field's not bad for acoustics when they have their outdoor
shows.
Good
one.
Well, the XL isn't bad.
No, the X is pretty good.
The X is pretty good.
Yeah.
All right.
I thought the Milwaukee Arena was pretty good, but what I paid for my tickets, I can't really tell you because I don't know how it sounded.
Yeah, you're
upstairs.
A connoisseur of fine music and classical. Mm-hmm. And
I have one observation from the week's NFL schedule.
Yes.
What the hell's wrong with Kansas City?
I don't know, man. Their defense is terrible.
He was my guy. He was...
Their defense is terrible, but now their offense is terrible, too.
Mahomes looked horrible.
Yeah. Well, they were shut out in the first half, right? Well, they only scored 3 points, but yeah, they...
Wow.
They were...
I,
uh,
I don't think it's Andy's fault, but I don't think Andy's been the same since his son. Well, the son ran into the.
She the son in
killed
jail?
The little girl.
Did she die?
Didn't she? No, she got badly.
Plus, he had a health episode in a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. right after the game.
Yeah.
Or during? Was it during the game? I can't remember.
I don't know. They were not prepared for the Super Bowl last year.
No.
You know?
I'm developing a theory about Tom Brady.
He's pretty good.
I think he's an alien.
Mm-hmm. It's not bad. Dorian Gray lives, man.
Well, I mean, everything he does works out right. Yesterday, he gives a cancer survivor his hat. He stops the game. They see him.
Did he know it was a kid?
Yeah,
the
dad held up a sign, "You help my son get better," or something. So, yeah. So Brady goes and gets one of his hats, mm-hmm. his Tampa Bay baseball mm-hmm. caps, and hands it to the kid and shakes his hand. Everything he does.
Yeah, but then
he's an alien.
Got to go home to Giselle.
And yeah,
what
see what
fun,
I mean?
What right. fun can that Everything be?
You left your socks under the bed again.
What fun can that be?
Yeah, now? That's too bad.
Giselle, and you know what he's got? He's got the wife that'll defend him, too.
Yeah.
Oh, she ripped
him.
The...
She's got the wife that's on his side.
She likes him. Don't even play Game of Thrones.
Explain how that works. The
I
wife
don't know.
In your, you know, your history, you usually have some of that, too, you know. Don't you?
No. I'm a loser in the Game of Thrones.
If he had won six, is it six Super Bowls or seven?
Seven.
Seven.
He's
seven,
won then. Seven. He's appeared in 10.
Yeah.
Because he lost two to the Giants and one to the Eagles here.
Yeah, it's amazing. 600 touchdown passes. In the NFL, that only counts the regular season.
Yeah.
That's only the regular season,
but he
right?
threw the Super Bowl trophy across a vast amount of water in Tampa Bay, and whoever was on the other boat caught
Gronk.
It.
Gronk. He threw it to Gronk.
Gronk caught it. Everything he does
Everybody
is,
else would have went, wow. It would have sunk. That would have lost the Emmy.
And remember the daughter of the sculptor was offended that, and everyone said, shut up.
Yeah,
you know, she was trying to play this victim card. Everyone said, shut up.
Oh, the daughter of the designer of
the original
trophy,
designer.
Yeah, what a bunch of BS. It was in alien hands. It wasn't going to go in the bottom
right,
of the lake.
He would have just gotten it there somehow.
Right.
Britt Reed, Andy Reid's son, has a trial date set for April 18th, 2022. He's pleaded not guilty to that charge in the summer, and a 5-year-old girl, Ariel Young, was left with a serious brain injury.
Yeah. He'll plead guilty to something beyond the charge. So how about Eddie?
Oh.
Is this unbelievable?
Is this David Ortiz amazing. Part two?
Huh? Just amazing.
Is this David Ortiz
well,
part
no,
two?
Well, no, he's only been there.
Run through
you know,
the story again
once.
For me, why he left here. What
okay,
happened?
Eddie would have been arbitration eligible.
At the beginning of this current season.
At the beginning of this. 2 years ago, when they hit all the home runs, mm-hmm. Eddie knocked in 109 runs.
Yep.
With 34 home
runs. 32 home runs, 109 RBIs. Last year, mini season. Wasn't as good, but he was okay. But I think the main reason is they had Kirilloff on the way, and they
Larnick.
Thought he was going to, well, Larnick a little later. But they didn't, if he'd gone to arbitration, maybe he would have gotten $11 or $12 million. They didn't want to pay him that much. They put him on waivers. Nobody claimed him. So, because knowing that he would go to arbitration,
Cleveland
in all likelihood,
signed him for $8 million.
Cleveland got him for $8 million. Mm-hmm. He wasn't real good in Cleveland. He was beat up. He had a bad knee or back or something.
So this season, he started with Cleveland.
He started with Cleveland at a discount rate.
Right.
$8 million, nothing. You know, his 1 year that he was going to get paid by the Twins, they had the strike, and he didn't get, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, not the strike. They had the pandemic, and they only played, he only got 38% of his $9 million or whatever it was. So the 2 months to go in a season, Cleveland knows they're not going anywhere, and they want to get out from under $2.6 million.
That's it. Huh?
So they give him to Atlanta for Pablo Sandoval, who was making $1 million, and then they 2 hours later, they release Pablo Sandoval. So they just—
They gave him away.
They just gave him away. And wow.
To save $1.5 million.
And all of—2.5, but yeah. All of— Atlanta's outfielders were hurt, and they went and got four outfielders. Mm-hmm. Their best player in the National League is Ronald Acuña Jr., who's one of their outfielders who's missed the whole year. ACL, mm-hmm. I think. And so they got him. They got this Jock Peterson. They got Jorge Soler and Adam Duvall, right? Mm-hmm. They got four outfielders. And for a time there, when all of them were healthy, Eddie wasn't playing every day. He was kind of playing against
right-handers. When did he join the Braves?
The trade deadline.
First August, you know.
Jeez.
And he was doing okay. He wasn't mm-hmm. great. But, man, he's got a, you know, he's always been hot and cold, you know. And when he's hot, he's hot. But he's never been like this.
This is amazing.
When he's at the plate, he's got a different look about him. Like he's,
well, what did
I hate to use the term, but he's focused.
When I was watching this, the thought that occurred to me was what Minkiewicz told you about him when he said, he's got to be interested.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously the National League Championship Series would get a guy interested a little bit, but remember the one game wild card against the Yankees that the Twins lost?
He hit a home run.
He hit a home run. They also had three other hits that day. He was
but here's the thing. Watching him, he took some pitches 2 inches off the plate. He wasn't hacking. You know, he wasn't hacking like a wild man. He was if they threw it in the zone, he was ready to hit it. The two outs, Joe, in game six were a rocket to right, and then the one that almost went out in center field. Mm-hmm. And he didn't get his cycle in the other game.
No, he settled for two home runs.
Yeah, he hit two home runs,
Joe,
instead.
You know what he achieved? He achieved the status of you must watch his at bats.
Yes, he did. That's
yeah.
true.
So you remember last week when you and I were complaining that we didn't really have a team to root for?
Right.
Of the four teams that
were
left?
I think I do know.
But here's why I should have texted this to you. Here's why I am cheering for Atlanta, even though the 91 Chris Reavers is not supposed to cheer for Atlanta. I am now rooting for them because remember baseball stole the All-Star game from them
mm-hmm.
over the voting controversy. Yeah. So that's now why I'm rooting for the Braves, even though I'm not supposed to because, you know, I'm a Twins fan.
Well, why are you mad at the Braves? Hell, they let us throw a guy off first base and didn't do anything about it. You know, the wrestling
well,
guy
you know, it's
off
just,
first base.
You know, T-Rex. I was 13 back then, so I'm just supposed to hate the Braves. It's
yeah,
the same
but the
reason.
Twins won.
I know, yeah, but that's...
The Braves, are, yeah, right. I mean, if you want to hate somebody, hate all those teams that beat the Vikings in Super
yes.
Bowls way back
don't
when,
worry, I do too.
Before you were born.
Oh, Atlanta.
They sent a death threat to my bleeping mother.
Is that Herbeck?
Herbeck.
Yes. Yes, but...
What did you call
was
him?
It Ronnie
King
Gant?
Of pro wrestling?
Huh?
What did you call him? The king of pro wrestling, or
the first base wrestling?
Or first base,
the world champion of first base wrestling, undefeated champion. Because remember, a year or two later, this guy came trying to slide back on his belly, and he just like collapsed on him. He just like did with the ball. He just went ooh, and pinned the guy down like 2 feet away from the bag.
Somebody
and slapped it in.
Somebody put that up, that little clip up of when Tappany fields the ball and throws it to Herbeck, and then Herbeck pulls Gant off the bag, and the caption just reads, "Well, clearly the law of physics indicates that Gant's momentum was taking him way off the bag."
Who made that call? I can't remember who the ump was.
It was unbelievable. Because that was game two, right?
It would have taken 14 seconds to overturn that in the day of replay.
Yes.
No, he goes to second.
Right. game two. Let's see. I have the box score here, but why are they?
Yeah, it was game two because, if you got to look at baseball reference for list of the umpires, I think.
So in the meantime, Rodgers continues to tear it up.
He had kind of a mild game yesterday, but
Drew Coble.
Yep. Okay, they've won six in a row.
Yeah,
they gave up 400 yards to the Washington football team yesterday too.
Yeah, that's true.
Why can't we get a nickname?
I don't know. I don't know what they're waiting.
No, they're staying with it. They're not. That's what they're going with.
I don't think so.
Well, that's the Pelissero had a story on it a couple weeks ago. This is what they were gonna keep this as their name going
forever.
Forward. I think so.
Is their form of protest.
Apparently, but Pat here. So I have the game.
Well,
two.
Supposedly, what I'd read is Snyder's on suspension here from running the team for a year or so that they were gonna wait.
Okay. Here's.
I think you can sell. You can't turn down the jersey money when you break out a new name. I can't believe they're going to do that.
That's true. Yeah. Here's the Wikipedia report of the incident in Game 2. Gant heading back to the first base, standing up but off balance, and in the process became entangled with Herbeck, who continued to apply the tag and could be seen pulling Gant off the bag with his glove arm. First base umpire Drew Coble called Gant out. A furious Gant and first base coach Pat Corrales argued to
Corrales
no avail.
Was the up, yeah, he's a red ass. So
Coble said in an interview conducted for the home video recap of the series that, in his view, Gant was not in control of his body when he returned to the base. That his own momentum caused him to get entangled
with
Herbeck.
That's what Kelly always said. Don't go back to the first base standing up. Anything you do, you deserve. Go back.
This is from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. With there being no instant replay, the play was not reversed, and the Braves would lose the game 3-2. To rub salt into the wound, this is a 2015 story. In 2011, the Twins gave out bobbleheads commemorating the 20th anniversary of the play. 24 years later, Gant still says he was safe, but that was his fault for not sliding back into the base. The ump got it wrong. I still believe it was my fault because I was tight. I was taught to slide back into any base, and I went back into first standing up. I got back in my in feet first. Then that doesn't happen, but it still doesn't make it right because we may have won the game.
So, Rook, to commemorate that, we had Ron Gant on the show when I was producing Judd's show. I think at that time he was with Joe Anderson.
Oh, I think I remember that.
And Ron Gant called in because I think he was working for the MLB Network, and Judd asked him the question. You know, we had talked about, hey, how is this team, that team? And then he gets into the play. And there was at least 8 seconds of silence to the point where I thought he hung up on us.
Oh, wow.
And he said, I'll be politically correct. I knew you guys were going to ask me. And he was, I mean, you could still, it still made him mad thinking about that.
Hey, what is, today was, you won game seven.
Game seven of the 87 series.
So this was the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when was the other one then? October
28th, I believe. Well, I just had the page.
Do you want to feel old? Eddie Rosario, born September 28th, 1991. Just to say,
game seven
before
of the,
they won.
Game seven of the 91 was October 27th against Atlanta.
Well, that's
game seven.
Tonight.
And what? Four days later.
What's today?
Today's the 25th.
25th,
okay. Yep.
When they had the parade, was it snowing?
No. No, they
but it was
got
cold.
They've won a game on Sunday, and Tuesday was the second parade, and then the snow started on Thursday, I believe.
Thursday night, yeah.
2 months till Christmas.
31 inches. Mm-hmm.
I wish somebody would write about the Halloween blizzard.
You know what?
I didn't shovel that time.
Snow melted.
Did it?
Yeah,
before winter. Then winter kicked in again.
You know what I liked watching the football game last night? Mm. The fact it was raining in California. I'm all in favor of some rain.
California. Yes.
Maybe get some water back in the rivers.
But now
and
they'll
lakes.
All complain because of landslides and mud.
Well,
and
that stuff happens.
That's right, especially if you don't manage your forests and they burn down.
And you gotta have water.
One of the things I remember most about the 1991 blizzard, I could not make it in. I was a weekend overnight guy. Couldn't make it in. And Lauren Screener Boy Davis. Lauren Screener Boy Davis had punched a hole into the candy thing. Because he thought he couldn't order pizza. Okay. He didn't have any food, so he smashed a hole
in an act of desperation.
I was hungry. He thought he was going to be left there like the Dahmer party of whatever. So he punched in. I don't know how much he ate, but it was just, that was a vague memory. Everybody said, why did you, he's like, I didn't know when I was going to be able to get out of here. Well, it's not like, you know, the snowplow wasn't going to come out 4 hours later. Oh, my gosh. That was hilarious.
Well, he could have very well been trapped there.
Yeah, he could have. So he punched
the
vending machine.
No one was getting around.
Yeah, the vending machine that was in the back when you first, when you came in those two gray doors
in the
back.
God, that'd be hard on the hand.
Well, he may have used a hammer. Maybe he grabbed one of Norm Pasternak's hammer.
We couldn't leave our house for a couple days.
Oh.
I think I was staying with Mick and her parents.
You know, overnight guys in radio
oh boy,
have a tendency. to be a bit strange.
Yes, yes, 100%. You know, it's a lot of downtime.
The guy who's in here when he's not doing live, I mean, not live programming, I mean, just the guy who's got to run the crap all night long, Art Bell and that stuff.
And during the winter.
Bob Davis, wasn't he an overnight guy?
Yep. Yeah, during the winter months, too, if you, I don't know anybody that did this, but if you got a little tired and it was a little chilly but nice and warm in the host studio, a guy might just kind of nestle up in the corner and then be awakened by a screaming bell and a bright searchlight outside the big window going, "We're not on the air."
Dead
and then look
air.
And go, "How long was I sleeping?" That happened only once, and I thought for sure Mr. Hubbard was listening and I was going to get a call, but it was, 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, my. That thing was loud when we went off the air.
I'm not upset at my Wilds loss yesterday.
I am.
You're not going to win them all, pal.
Plus, no, Matthew Mikulski Jr. said the Wild might not ever lose a game.
You can't win. You can't give up three.
You got to stop falling behind all the time because sometimes you're going to. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you ain't going to catch up. Mm-hmm. But how'd the Finlander look? He gave up three quick ones. Huh? Yeah. Although the boys were on the penalty.
But he was
four penalties in the first.
Couple
quarter.
Deflections
first
though,
period.
And. What do you do when somebody's sitting deflects a puck and you think it's coming here and you're like this and then it goes in over there? So
I'm sorry. Speaking of that, I was driving to the concert, so I listened to it on the radio and I had to listen to the game on Saturday on the radio. Kurtsey did both games. I thought he hung them up.
Kurtsey's doing 20 home games.
Oh, okay.
He's doing 20 home games. Okay. Yep.
Which is good because I love.
He sounded great.
Yeah, I love listening.
My
to
report for Saturday night, I did watch the game at. I've never done this, but we watched the game at Tom Reed's. Prior to that, it was plump full and downtown was hopping. And then, everything cleared out. And then after the game, everybody was hanging out. Yeah. It was a Saturday night, yeah. So
opening night, they were back in the bars because they were all walking down the street chanting, "Let's go Wild," the great win. So, hockey fans and the youth of them, they just keep going at it, man.
The family of four from Woodbury is going to keep coming back to downtown St. Paul.
Well, that's good.
Now they go on another West Coast swing.
I don't like that. I want them at home. Let's go.
The Wilds.
We go to the Vegases?
Going to the bank?
No,
go to Seattle.
Oh, that's right. They're
going
to
the Crackheads. The Crackheads have their great opening. It was by the way... What did Judd tell me that Todd Lewicki has come up with? He retired jersey number 32 in honor of the fans on opening night. Here it was number one, right?
Why 32?
Yeah, I believe it was
32 because they're the 32nd team, and they claim opening day they had 32,000 people commit to season tickets, which he made up, obviously, to fix with the 32 thing. But the opening,
funny how that works out.
But retiring a number in honor of the fans before there's been a game is a...
It's a new move.
Yeah.
But he did it here.
Yeah.
I wonder
that's a proactive move.
I wonder what they came up with for... Because they already declared it to be the state of football, out there.
Oh, okay.
When they first went out there and... Got the new football stadium. They became the state of football.
Could be raining there tonight. There's a Monday night game there.
Yeah, supposed to be. Supposed to be. That's all right. We want rain.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, we need some rain.
Really quick. Speaking of football, I know you like a good bet there, Such.
Yeah,
and Pat.
And final comments.
So Adam Thielen and C.J. Hamm apparently made a bet, and the loser, which was Adam Thielen, had to wear an Augustana football T-shirt to practice today. I like a good-natured bet like that.
Against the
Augustana guy.
Did you see what the Bukesteds did to for the Halloween thing on what's the name of the kid? The forward kind of
Tyler Bukestead.
Nick Bukestead.
Oh, Nick Bukestead.
Here.
In a Halloween costume?
They had a Halloween
dress. Yeah, they had a competition,
there.
The NHL.
He got his hair cut. Who's that? Give me some of their forwards'
Foligno.
Name. No, some of their obscure, more obscure forwards. The kid's been a kid had a pretty good
I know
year
the
last
picture
year.
You're talking about.
Yeah.
I saw it.
It
Who knows?
Give me their names.
What are the names of the guys?
We got to get the name. We need the names of the guys. Okay. You got to stay here. We need
the names of the guys.
Paper. We got to get the names of the guys. But the best part is
the guy.
Yeah, give us the names. Come on.
Who are you talking
about? Give me the wild roster.
Susie.
I got it.
He's a crackhead.
Oh,
he went to the crackhead.
Parisi.
No.
Cam. Eck. Zuccarello. Greenway. Hartman. Feligno. Rask.
Keep going.
What are there for Fiala? Kevin.
Nico Strum, number seven.
Wow. Nico Strum.
He goes and gets Nico Strum's haircut and did some other stuff to look exactly like Nico Strum. But the best part is his wife was, what, a hockey player, right? Or his wife played college hockey for some obscure college.
Okay.
She went through this, Nico Strum's wife's parents, and got a uniform.
All right.
Got the uniform that the wife wore for that college. So they showed up as the couple. He did his whole haircut.
The wife also
was dressed up as the wife. That's an effort.
No, that's pretty good.
That's not just jumping out from behind a corner and going boo.
Who does that, even though it's fun? Right.
Rookie would just put the mask on and jump out there.
Right. Clown mask and jumping out isn't as fun.
That's my idea of a Halloween laugh right there. Yes. When is Halloween?
Sunday night.
31st.
When the Vikings host the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football.
You know what? The blood alcohol content of the air in there will be 0.19.
What did Seifert call it the last time the Cowboys were here for a night game? He said it's the drunkest crowd I have ever seen at a football game. Ooh.
Yeah.
That's Halloween.
That's something. He's never been to Philadelphia, the old place. But anyway.
All right.
Got to go to the bank.
Yep. Well, I don't. Pat does.
EcoFun has e-bikes in stock. And why is that important? Because every other bike retailer is out of stock and will not be getting new e-bikes until December or January. You can't even get one for Christmas from them. The weather is warming up, so if you are in the market for an e-bike, scooter, or ATV, go to EcoFun right now. EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Talk with Tim Bloom, the owner of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Tim and his family will help you select the e-bike that is right for you, and they will deliver it to your front door in the metro area. Right now, EcoFun has Bentelli e-bikes and Yamaha Motor Assist bikes in stock. EcoFun also carries the full line of Yamaha scooters, motorcycles, and a wide variety of Yamaha ATVs, including ATVs for kids. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and online at EcoFunMotorsports.com and tell Tim that that old bicycler Patrick Ricey sent you.
Hey, GLers, it's Reavers here once again for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. And as you've been hearing over the course of the last couple of months, Josh asks you one simple question, and that's always, do you know what you own? You see, Josh's clients, they always know what they own. And Josh has found that most people that he meets with every single day, well, they don't. They absolutely have no idea. Josh has also seen retirement portfolios that have a big percentage in bonds. And there are real instances of people paying more in commissions and fees than they can possibly make on the rate of return that those bonds currently yield. So Josh begs of you, know what you own. And you'll hear from Mr. Money Talk later today here in Garage Logic to give you a specialized report on the goings-on in the market today. Trust is often overused and it's even harder to find. Please, you can take it from me that you can trust Josh. So give him a call today for that free 48-minute financial consultation, and you do so by calling 952-925-5608. Once again, that's 952-925-5608 for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold.
This is Patrick Ricey for The Canopy Group. Your kids are back in school, and when they get home, they do their homework, or they're supposed to do their homework. Why don't you do your homework? You have been with that same home and auto insurance company that has only one agent who represents only one insurance company for years. You deserve options. Let's face it, your insurance needs change as the years go by. Insurance companies' rates certainly change as the years go by. That is why the Canopy Group provides you with 16 options, not one, 16. Don't tell your kids, but you can outsource your homework to the Canopy Group. They will teach you how they find the best insurance coverage for the best price, not only today, but each and every year. Contact the Canopy Group at 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com and let them do the homework for you.
Hi, this is Chris Howard, host of Plugged In with Chris Howard. It's crazy to think that a few weeks ago we were talking about whether or not Tua Tagovailoa should consider retiring. After two concussions and worldwide debates on player safety and NFL culpability, Tua has done nothing but go back to work and currently has the Dolphins riding a three-game win streak and one loss behind the division favorite Buffalo Bills. While everyone was yapping about the end of his career, Tua Tagovailoa said he'll decide when it's time. And clearly, he's not ready to hang up the cleats. Hi, this is Chris Howard from the Plugged In with Chris Howard podcast. BetOnline.net is your number one source for betting football and the start of the new basketball season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth analysis on every game. BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sports wagering information with live betting up-to-the-minute scores for every the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including the MLB playoffs, the start of the NHL season, MMA, boxing, and golf. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.